What's your name, girl? Praise your name, God. Father, we bless your name. We bless your name, God. We give you glory and we give you honor. We magnify your holy name, Father. We give you reverence this day. We thank you, Father, for all things that you have made and all things that you are doing in this season. And Lord God, even on tonight, we bless you. We bless you. We magnify you. God, we thank you, Father, for giving us active use of our limbs. We thank you for opening up doors that have not ever been opened up to us, for protecting us from danger seen and unseen. Father, I thank you that, God, you are in the midst of us. You are among us, and you are going to do something supernatural in the lives of your people. I know it, I feel it, and I sense it in the atmosphere. So, Lord God, right now, as we are beginning to do this podcast, Father, as we're beginning to walk as you say walk and move as you say move, we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices, but Lord God, we shall stand in faith and we shall decree and declare the very thing that you have ordained for our lives. So Lord God, we just thank you that we are healed, we are complete, we are whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing is torn apart or torn asunder. Nothing is disjointed or disformed, but Lord God, it is working and moving as you intended. I thank you, Father, that God, this is the day that you have made, and God, I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. I shall honor you. I shall bless you. I shall live my life that you may be pleased and you may be honored by that which I present unto you. So, Lord God, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my body, that you may use me as you see fit. Father, I know that I'm a wretch undone, and we are wretches undone, but it is by your blood, it is by your son's stripes that we are healed. It is by the very sacrifice that he made on the cross that he's allowed us to be able to come into this place where we're able to just lay all of our burdens, our heartaches, our hardships, lay everything down on the altar, and we'll begin to start the process to come into this place where we can fellowship you in this beauty of holiness, that we can fellowship you in our truth, making sure that we don't have any mask, that we don't have any hidden agendas, that we don't have any things that we're hiding from you. But God, the very essence of who we are is presented to you in this rare and naked form. So God, I thank you that you will begin to protect us and you will begin to see us in that state. That God, you'll be able to just be able to come in and change everything that's not like you. Change the very essence of our heart. Anything, any pit, any root that is not like you, Father, we ask that you begin to root it out right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you'll begin to do a resurrection, a revival in us, that we can do a supernatural thing upon the earth, that we can do a supernatural thing in this society, in this world. We thank you that, God, you are in the midst of us and you're doing a supernatural work right now. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for those that are coming on this podcast. Bless their families, bless their lives, bless their mind, their soul, their bodies, and their hearts. I pray, Father, that right now, that God, when they begin to go into those places where they feel that they're all alone, God, meet them where they are. Meet them in that place where they're feeling down and being torn up. Meet them in that place, Father, where they're feeling like the struggle is too hard for them to bear. Meet them in that place where they feel overwhelmed, where they feel outmatched, where they feel like they are losing the battle. Meet them in that place. And I pray, God, that you begin to find them, begin to cover them, begin to do a work in their lives forevermore. I thank you. I glorify you, I honor you, and I give you praise. Come on, come on. If he's worthy of all glory, we magnify your name. We give you honor and we give you praise. We give you the glory, Father God, And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. I thank you, Father, for the fruit of our lips that comes from you, God. It is, God, you that we are adoring. It is you that we are loving. It is you that we are lifting up, Father. It is you that we come into this faith covenant agreement with. It is you, Father, that we begin to look at our hearts and our minds. It is you, God, and it's all about you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you, and we glorify your name. Yes, God, I praise you. Yes, God, I give you glory. Yes, God, I honor you. Yes, God, I magnify your name. Yes, God, I praise you. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you. I glorify you. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. We bring honor to your name. We bring glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Bring honor to your name. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Oh, God, I bless you. I magnify you. I lift you up. As you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be adored. And we worship you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen again. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I know that you could have been anywhere else doing anything, but I am so glad that God has brought you here that you may be able to hear a word that will begin to nourish your mind, body, soul, and spirit. So I thank you for joining and taking the opportunity just to fellowship with us. I do believe that God has something for you today. I do believe that God is in the process of allowing certain information, certain tools, certain things to be specifically and strategically put in your reach that you may be able to grab hold to them. And in the hope of it is that you'll begin to challenge the very essence of your heart, challenge your soul, challenge your spirit, that you may be able to be like the sons of God that God is calling for in as we begin to talk about the manifestations of the sons of God, that we'll begin to be able to get ourselves, get our minds, get our soul, get our bodies in alignment with the word of God so that we can begin to live a fruitful and a productive life. So I challenge you today to take this word that God is going to give you, take these teachings that God is going to present to you, and to use them. Don't just put them aside and make notes and just be on the podcast just to listen. And if you feel that this is something that is going to be a blessing to you, or feel that's something that's going to, you know, to be a blessing to someone else, then by all means, we ask that you share it. We ask that you begin to tell them about RTRMI and tell them about what we're trying to do. And our whole heart and our whole body, our whole mission is to restore the mind, body, and soul of believers and those that want to be believers and those that don't even know that God has a purpose and a plan for their lives. That is my mission. That is my goal. So I'm so glad to be here today. I hope that this, this hour, this minute finds you in a place where you're enjoying the blessings of God, that you're understanding that he loves you, that you're understanding that he has a purpose for you, that you're understanding that he has a place just in store. He has things just in store for you. Sometimes we fail to forget how much God truly loves us and how much he really cares for us, even that he sent his word that we may be able to have a blueprint or have some type of form or some type of roadmap or book that we can, or manual that we can use to get our hearts back in order, get our hearts back in alignment so that we'll be able to see him and see our loved ones one day as he begins to call us all home. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm so grateful again to be able to do this once again. I wanted to continue on with the Bible study that we actually have been starting on. And last Sunday, I know that we've had some different nuances of what we're doing. We're kind of stretching out our tent pegs, so to speak. So I do thank you for your patience. I thank you for all your understanding of us, how we're trying to grow into territories that's really unfamiliar for us, but we're still going forward in them. You know, taking on some technological advancements and responsibilities where we can try to get this gospel spread out to many people as we can, just for the glory of God. So I thank you for just being patient with us. Sometimes we'll do it on a Facebook Live and sometimes we'll do it on our podcast here. I know that we haven't had a lot of things on here the last few days, but I do apologize for that. But I do promise you that I'll do my best to try to make sure that we get those recorded sermons or recorded Bible study teachings, get them on the podcast that you may refer back to them on a later date. But for the most part, to keep up with whatever we're doing, please visit our website, rtrmi.org. There you can find a link to let allow us to do to see our services live, get information on our new location, get information about us and what our missions and what our goals are. Also, where you can connect with us and any type of teachings, any type of tips or anything that we have that will help your soul, we'll try to put them on there the best that we can. But without further ado, I want to get into our Bible study. So last week, I talked about, you know, it's been really been an ongoing series, okay? A few weeks prior to that, we talked about the fight of your flesh, the fight of, you know, winning the war of sin, winning the battle of sin, you know, the fighting between your members. In other words, your flesh. You know, we're not blaming anybody else. We're not coming into a blame game. That person made me do it or the devil was busy. No, it's really kind of taking account and looking at the things of our flesh and our soul and trying to get that thing back into alignment. But first of all, you have to identify that there is that actual war. There is a war between your flesh. There's a war between your spirit. And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll find yourself losing a battle because you're not putting the proper attention or feeding the right thing, where you're making one thing weaker than the other. And the very thing that you're actually making strong is the very thing that's been designed to kill you. So we have to make sure that we're kind of upholding ourselves accountable to the word of God, that God can begin to help us so that we can make sure that we're crucifying our flesh and allowing our spirit to be fed, to be nurtured, to be strengthened, to be strong, so that we can grow in our faith, grow in our walk with Christ and be a true asset, not only to our families, but to the society, to the body of Christ, that we'll be able to be that transferring agent or to be that portal that God will begin to use to bring people to us so that they may see Christ through us. Amen. Bring people to us that they may see Christ through us. But we have to be realistic and we have to be real with ourselves. And over the course of my life as, you know, being a pastor, minister, worship leader, all these different things, the concept that I try to, that God basically deals with me on is the concept of reality. And what I mean by reality, you have your spiritual walk, but there is also a reality. And here's the thing that I'm learning in my life is to how do you take the things that God speaks to you about, the word of God, your faith, and use those things to help you deal with the reality of life. That's the key. You know, it's not a fake it till you make it kind of situation. It's not, you know, you put on this Christian t-shirt and you just have this facade on your face or this just blank look or this blank mindset that, you know, I got Jesus and, you know, everything is going to be all right. And yes, it is. That is a mindset that we have. However, we have to be aware that the enemy is plotting to destroy us. The enemy is constantly on his mission, constantly on his job, trying to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to use your past. He wants to use everything about you to destroy you, to keep you from the blessings and the promises that God has. So with that being said, God led on my heart to do this series on the Bible study and doing another series in our Sunday services, really focusing on us, focusing on you. Last Sunday, we talked about dealing with temptation and, you know, having the understanding of identifying the mindset and understanding that there is always the way of escape, you know, always understanding that, you know, when you find yourselves in a fault, you have to be aware of the devices. See, we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices, but you have to be aware of how God is using everything in your surrounding as a way of escape to help you get away or to flee from temptation. Amen. To help you flee from temptation. So we're going to kind of pick up from that. And the base scripture that we were using last week was coming out of actually was coming out of Proverbs 23. And also we was talking about Romans 12. Okay. And it was talking about renewing the mind. And we're going to go in a little bit into Romans. That's going to be the basis of our scripture that we're going to go through. But I want to read a little bit of Proverbs 4:23, because what I want to talk to you tonight, I want to kind of dig a little bit deeper. And if anything, for some of you that are out there, maybe this will help you to help you deal with, you know, will help you overcome temptation. That's my goal. I want to help you overcome temptation, because temptation is going to come, but you have the authority to win. You have the power to win. It's already been given the victory. You know, when Christ stepped into his ministry and he went purposely in the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. And the reason that he did that is so that he could honestly validate the very walk, the very essence of the lifestyle that he is going to commission us, or he's asking us to do as well. Okay. He went for 40 days and 40 nights into the wilderness to fast and to pray so that he may be tempted by Satan. And we'll find, if we go in, and that's not really the direction I want to go right now, but we'll find that in that particular test, he had to be tested. And what God began to show me in my own life, and what I began to learn, is that he had to be tested so that we know that we can overcome the test, because we use our example to be the lifestyle, the walk, the way that Christ walked. And when he is tempted with things of pride, things of the flesh, things of whatever, you know, those different things, he overcomes them by using the word of God. And that is a blueprint that we must take note of, is that the word of God gives us the blueprint, the design, or gives us the simple format that we can use to help us overcome these temptations. Now, there are times that sometimes, yes, when you're not aware of these things, or just you get so caught up, yes, you may fall, you may stumble, and you get into these different situations and these entanglements and these, and you know, the devices that come and try to wipe you out. But I encourage you, my brother and my sister, don't stay there. Don't stay in that place of temptation. Don't stay in that place where you're feeling guilty and you made a mistake and you felt that God does not, you know, have nothing to do with you, that he does not want you, does not desire you. The devil is a lie. Don't fall into that guilt. Don't fall into that shame. Don't fall into that condemnation, because he is always constantly looking after you, constantly going, seeking you, trying to find you, trying to know where you are, trying to present things to you to let you know that the love that he has for you is a everlasting love. That nothing can pluck us away from his love. Nothing can pluck us away from what he has purposed over your life. Now, we can forfeit that, and that's what the enemy tries to do by way of temptation, by way of all these different things that he brings to us. We can forfeit that very thing, but God has a purpose and God has a plan that he has already ordained for the foundation of the world, that has been tried, that has been tested, and that is true to destroy the plots of the enemy. Yes, we have the victory over it all. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into our Bible study. I'm going to give you Proverbs 4:23, and I'm going to read that very quickly. And it says, and I'm reading probably from maybe a different type of version, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." That scripture is very important because it gets us to understand that we must keep our heart with all diligence, with all fervor, with all passion, the same passion that we're going throughout this world, making sure we get to work on time, the same passion that we make sure that we are eating the right foods, or the same passion that we begin to go forth to try to make sure that we're constantly protected. That is the same passion that we have to keep our hearts with all diligence, for it is the issues of the spring of life, meaning that in our hearts lies no good thing. In other words, you know, we as natural people, we as fleshly beings, we have a desire to sin or wanted to sin. We have a desire to please the flesh. So it takes our Holy Spirit to be in control, or to be in subjection, or excuse me, the flesh to be in subjection to the Holy Spirit so that it can lead it and guide it to the way that it needs to, whereas the issues or the desires that it wishes to do, okay, the desires to want to see certain things that it should not see or want to say certain things that it should not say or want to be a part of something that we should not be a part of or to partake in the things that we should not partake of that is meant to do nothing but destroy us or to act in a certain way or to have a bit of hatred in our hearts in a certain capacity that God never designs for us. We have to make sure that we guard that with all diligence and make sure we keep it and lead it to a place of purity, okay? Lead it to a place of purity. Okay, so Romans 12, I want to read Romans 12, 1 through 6, and I want to go through that. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your scriptures or your iPads, iPhones, whatever it is that you use, I want you to get to Romans 12, and we're going to go to 12, 1 through 6. On last week, I talked about Romans 12, one of the base scriptures, but we're going to kind of walk through it, and hopefully some of these tips and things that I have will be a blessing to you to help you overcome some different things that you may find that you're struggling with. And here's a basically be a way or a tool for you to get beyond it. Amen. Romans 12. Give me a little bit of time to get it if you can. Romans 12, and I like to use the King James Version because it gives me the original interpretation in a sense, or the more common interpretation. But I also like to use a cross-reference with a few different ones. The New Living Translation is one of them, as well as lately I've been really liking the Message Bible. Reason being is because it puts in that plain text, you know, and it's good to cross-reference to both so you can make sure that everything is lining up the way that you have for understanding. But sometimes you need to have something that's just broken down in regular everyday English so that you can understand and kind of take it to heart so you can receive it more. Amen. So Romans 12 and 1, and it says, first verse, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, say it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Message Bible talks about it in the same way. It says that, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Okay, place it before God as an offering. Okay, I'm gonna go a little further. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted into your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So what it does, what Paul is saying is that he wants you he begs you, he urges you. That's what the beseech you mean. I'm begging you, I'm urging you, my brothers and my sisters, okay, by just the mercy of God, with the mercy that God has given us, the mercy that God has granted to us, just that sheer mercy alone, that you please, 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 with everything that you do, please do your best, or here's that word again I'm going to use, diligence. Do your due diligence to make sure that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service, is the least that you can do. Okay, if we were to break it down to that notion, okay, and we begin to take that to heart, anything that we begin to have something that we cherish very dear, we put a sense of pride in it. Whereas, you know, for example, our children, you know, we have a pride in our children. So when our children go outside, say, for example, they may be going to church, or they may be going to school, or they may be going to some other place, or going somewhere with you, because of the fact, here it is, because of the fact that your children reflects who you are as a parent to them and how you take care of them. Most women, most men, you know, most parents do their very best that they can to make sure that their children, when they go out in public, they are presented in a respectable, clean, and, you know, the right way. Meaning is that, you know, they make sure that, you know, that they're, you know, that their hair is combed, that their clothes are clean, that they're not all jacked up and, you know, all wrinkled and everything like that. Especially if you're going to a place where, you know, everyone else is dressing up. It's like maybe a nice restaurant, or you're going to a nice event or something of that nature, where you want them to, you put a nice suit on them, or you put a nice dress on them, and you fix their hair just right, and you make sure everything is just good. And what I'm learning with you know, having daughters and also having a plus daughter is that, you know, that hair is that thing. You know, that hair has to be right. You can't just have that hair coming out any kind of way. Because what I'm learning in life is that with women, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, that is looked at as far as like, oh man, you know, look, what's going on with her hair? Blah, blah, blah. Why you didn't do? And so they do a lot of work making sure that they, you know, kind of either have to do it the night before or whatever they may do to try to spend maybe a few hours getting the hair right. Right. So they're doing that due diligence to make sure that when they are presented to the world or presented to someone and that someone looks upon them, that they see, okay, wow, the child is well mannered, the child is well groomed, is well clean, they speak well, they act right. You know, they're not, you know, wild and ruly. They're mannerable kids. And that begins to bring a blessing, or it begins to look shine. It basically reflects the love that you have for your children. It reflects the love that you have for your kids. It reflects the honor and the pride that you put into them, because not only do you want them to represent themselves, and you want them to not be criticized and ridiculed when they go to school and their hair is all messed up or their clothes all dirty and jacked up, or, you know, there's holes in their shoes and all these different things. Okay. But you do your very best to present the best example that you have. It's kind of like this. That first impression is always the last impression. Well, when it comes to our interaction with people, when it comes to our interaction just in this world, we want to make sure that we do due diligence in making sure that we present our bodies or make our bodies, okay, a living sacrifice. I'm gonna stop right there. A living sacrifice. When you think about a sacrifice, when we look in this time, in these days, a sacrifice unto God always meant death. It means that it was either the first lamb, first dove, first whatever animal that it was that was without blemish, without anything, an acceptable sacrifice. It would be killed or it would be slaughtered on the altar and presented up to God as an atonement for sin, or an atonement for blessings, or whatever it was at that particular time. Okay. But it was presented. It had to be the best to be presented to God, that he may receive it. So in the same concept, we have to have that same mindset, okay? And I'm going to talk about mindset in a minute when we go to the second verse. We have to have that same mindset to where we make the initiative and we make the diligence and we make the responsibility to say, you know what? This is a body that God has given me. This is not my own. Yes, my mom and my dad created and put the seeds together. However, it was the work of God's divine hand that has put me together in a way and put me in certain things. Matter of fact, if you look at it like this, he has allowed you to overcome certain things that you may give the glory and the praise unto God. And so when people see you and they look at your body, or they look at, you know, your lifestyle more so, that it is almost where it is, you're a living sacrifice, meaning that you are, you know, you present yourself as a living sacrifice, meaning living, meaning that you're still alive, but you are physically dead. You are still alive, but you are physically dead. You are still alive in your breath, your eyes popping around, moving, your hands moving around, your lips popping, you're moving around, all those things. You are still living, but your flesh, your desires, your will has been dead. It has been submitted unto God for his use and for his sacrifice. And we count that as a service. Okay. Now, this may sound strange to a lot of people because of the fact that say, hey, it's my body. I do what I want to do. And we have that attitude. And by all means, yes, In a sense, yes, it is your body. Do what you want to do. Live how you want to live. It's your life, whatever. But what I said for myself, and this is one thing that I said for me, and I'm not knocking anybody, I'm not judging anybody, but my desire to present myself to God, there are certain things that I just, me personally, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with them. I'm just saying me personally, I choose not to do or choose not to wear, okay? Or choose not to put on my body. That's just me. That's just the responsibility and the conviction that I have for what I desire to honor God and how I desire to honor God. Everyone may have a different conviction, and that's fine. But we should still be have a glimpse or have a common ground based on the word of God of us making sure that we preserve and present ourselves or present our bodies, present our lifestyles unto God. That has to be one of the number one things that you have to make up in your mind that you're going to do. That's going to help you when it comes to when you're dealing with temptation. You have to make it up in your mind that I am presenting my body to God. Now I'm going to step in something when it comes to husband and wives. And I'm going to say this again, husband and wives. It's a difference, okay? It's a difference. And what I mean by difference is that you still present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. However, when it's a man and a woman that are married, I'm going to start the other way. Wives submit to her husband. Listen to what I'm saying. But also, husband submit to his wife, the wife that God has given him. He submit himself to his wife, and they both, as they submit themselves unto each other, they're still submitting themselves because that's their heart, their focus. They're submitting their lives unto God. There's an order, okay? For that dynamic, submit unto God. So if you are married and you are have a husband or you have a spouse, you guys submit your bodies to each other. Paul will talk about that further down. Being husband of one wife, you know, giving your body over to whatever. We'll get into that maybe later on. But he's talking about submitting, husband submitting it to his wives, wives submitting to their husband. Okay. And they both are submitting themselves under God. Matter of fact, if you look at it this order like this, and this is the order that needs to be. You have God, you have the man of the house, which is the husband. Okay. Not saying nothing, not taking anything away from the woman. Don't get me wrong. But you have the submission of the man of God. He's a priest of the home in a sense. And then the wife submits themselves to that particular man. Now, I'm going to say something. This is my own personal opinion. I understand when it comes to submission, it can be difficult for some women to submit to their husband, especially when their husband is not doing the things that honor God. Okay. However, there is a balance where the things that are godly and the things that are of the word of God, you submit that to God. You're still submitting unto God by honoring your husband. He is responsible to make sure that he submits himself to God and honor you. It's a two-way thing. It is not one over the other, one lording over the other. In other words, me and my wife, right? She respects me and she submits herself unto me. However, the reason that she does that is because she has, or I'm hoping that she sees that I have submitted my life to God. Because if I submit my life to God, and I've made that commitment and I am walking in that commitment to the best of my ability. And I'm living my life as I said that I am. And I'm doing the things that I said I was going to do, being integral, being respectful, being honorable, honoring her and taking her considerations into that same thing. Because if I am living my life, not only do I represent God, but I also represent her and I represent my family. So that weight, she sees the fact that, okay, I'm going to make sure I behave. Okay, she sees that I'm going to make sure that I behave so that I will not bring shame to God and to also to my family. So what does that mean? That means in this aspect, man, God, I'm going deeper than what I had intended to. But God, to me, this is good. And I'm hoping this helps somebody out there. When we just do this one simple thing, submitting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that cancel, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. That will probably kill a lot of the demons that are assigned to you just for that one level. When you make up in your mind that you're going to submit your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service, and you're committed about that thing, you said, God, I'm going to commit myself to you, and you begin to ask God to give you strength, ask God to give you the discernment to see things when you're not, to convict you when you are, so that way when you're not falling in that right path, so you can get back on track, you will eliminate majority of the demons that are assigned to you to try to destroy you and get you pulled away. It is when we don't make that commitment is when we find ourselves struggling with things that God has never really designed us to really struggle with, but yet he still gives us the ability to make, to have our own will. But when we take away our own will and submit it back unto God, there he's now obligated to now come in and to make sure that these things are moved from you because of what you are doing. Okay, that's the first step. Okay, or that's one thing. Second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. This is the part that we must make sure that we are coming into alignment with. Because everything that I said beforehand, it won't make a hill of sense. It won't make a hill of beans. It won't make a hill of nothing if you first, because when I say it, it sounds strange to many of us. When we talk about submit your body as a living sacrifice, that sounds absolutely weird. It sounds absolutely strange. It sounds absolutely crazy. When you think about the whole plan of salvation, it sounds crazy. When you think about what God requires of you, the simple things that God requires of you, honestly, it don't sound right in natural ears. You know, we drink body. They may think that we're cannibals, but in actuality, we're not. We're it's all symbolic. So if you don't renew your mind or renew your mind, and really what he talks about is not to be conformed be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Conformity or conformed is where you place a particular object and you fit it into something that takes the shape of that object. In other words, it's like if I were to pour water into a cup. Well, water is a free-flowing thing, but as soon as I put it into the cup, it begins to conform to the shape of what it is in, which is the cup, right? It conforms to the shape of what it is in, which is the cup. So when the writer tells us to not be conformed to this world, what he is saying is to not take our mind and to just as the world thinketh, so we do. Meaning that, you know, the world is doing it. The world is thinking this way. So we got to think this way. We're stuck in thinking that way. And that's another part where you have to be careful. Because the enemy comes in and he'll say something to you that will say, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, if you are a child of God, what everybody else is doing doesn't matter. It's what God requires of you to do is that what matters. So you have to understand and you have to make sure that you be not conformed to things, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will understand the all that God has in store for you and all God has a perfect will. Now, I'm going to break from there and I'm going to give you the first pillar or the first tower. And if you have a note, I'm going to try to go through these as fast as I can or not really as fast as I can. As I'm trying to go through these, you know, thoroughly as I can, but, you know, without spending a lot of time on it, and I can come back to them a later time. The first pillar that we must understand, or the first step, or the first step number one, or the key, I'll put like the key pillars, however you want to put it, and I hope you're taking notes. The first thing that I believe, and it comes out of that second verse, I believe, that helps us to help us under this, is Romans 2, The 12-2, that's one. Write that down. But also, I want to also want you to attach to that for this first pillar, John 14:23. Because in John 14:23, it talks about something that's really important that you must understand and you got to know. I said this many times before, we got to understand this principle. This is the make it or break it over your life right here. This one principle, John 14:23, it says that if a man love me, he will keep my words. Okay. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Right. So let me go back a little bit, because when you think about in that first part of that scripture, it talks about love and God is the one that's speaking. Okay. If a man love me, which is God, he'll keep my words. Here's the thing that you have to do. You have to do this. It's going to be easy for you to get past a lot of obstacles and barriers that you have. You must, and it's plain and simple, you must love God. Sound difficult, didn't it? You must love God with all your might, all your soul, all of your heart. And how do you love God? Because when you think about the whole devastation, coronavirus, the loss of loved ones, lost this, lost that, lost my job, lost my husband, lost my wife, lost my kids. You look at all your losses, okay? And you would think because of the negative things that have may have happened in your life or the negative things that have been allowed to happen in your life, it dictates how you love God. That's not so. Because what we have to understand, when we look at the principles of what love truly is, and without going to the actual scripture itself, but love is patient, love is kind, love is, you know, endure all things, believe all things, hope all things, all those different things. Love is something that is supernatural beyond our capability. Love is something that's beyond our mindset. It's beyond our thing. And when we think about the love that God has towards us, how he made a way for us, how he's protected us from, that's why I always pray it. He protects us from things seen and unseen. He protects us. He gives us active use of our life. He does so many things for us that when we begin to think about that, you know, you can't help but just thank him, okay, and feel that there is a debt of gratitude that must be owed to him. I'll talk about myself if I got to. I can't sit here and just be like, okay, you know, I got to thank him for everything that he's done. And when I thank him for that, I understand that I love him because of what he's done. I love him because he first loved me. He loved me before I even knew him. He loved me before I even accepted him. He loved me before I even acknowledged him. He loved me before I even, you know, allowed him to be my Lord and my Savior, or made him my Lord and Savior. He loved me regardless of all that. And when I understand that and I get that thing in my head, that's something that the world doesn't understand. The world doesn't understand the love of God and also the love that we should have for him. They cannot comprehend it because the world is what the world is. The world is a give me, get me, give me, give and get type of world. If I give love, I should get love. If I get love, maybe I don't have to give love. That's how the world thinks. It doesn't, it's a selfish, and I'm talking about in general, it is a selfish commodity. It should be fair, but in most times, if we've seen in our lives, it's not always fair. As many times you've had your heart broken, many times you've given love freely and was never treated the way that you should have been treated. That's what that love is. And by that, you've kind of felt some type of way. And have you ever, okay, here it is. Have you ever, listen to me clearly, have you ever been hurt or been broken to the point that how bad that person may have broken you, right? Listen to me. How that person may have done something to you, may have cheated on you, whatever. It dictated how you respond not only to them, but how you respond to everything else, right? Well, you've been brokenhearted. So now, and I will say for myself, I was, you know, my heart was broken at one particular time, you know, and then I got into this mindset of, you know what, man, why should I even give it again? Why should I do this again? Why should I do these different things? And so I had a cycle of just, you know, not necessarily relationships, but just encounters with women. Just, it was on surface value. It was a physical thing. And that caused me just to have this facade. So my actions and everything that I was doing was, you know, based off of the fact of my misunderstanding or my conformity to what love was, but not the transformity of what love could be. In other words, when I found God's love, I had to transform the love that I have, not only for myself, the love that I have for him, and the love that I have for everybody and anybody, okay? Truth be told, and I'm going to say this because I know my truth, is that I don't have any grudges with anybody, nobody at all whatsoever. You know, I love them, you know, just from heart, and would do anything that I can in any capacity to help anybody that in need of help, that is in my will to do it. I'm not going to sit there and be, oh, you did this to me, so I'm not going to, that's not me. And that is how I desired, because I understood that the first part of it is presenting my body as a living sacrifice. Well, maybe God is using me to be that conduit or be that channel to allow somebody to come in to do whatever that we need to do. So therefore, I made all those commitments. So now I'm not tempted by certain things in that particular genre, because I already know that my love is intact, because I know that I love God and I wouldn't do all these other things because God loves me. And he won't allow me to do these other things. That's what we have to look at. So love is a very important thing. You have to love God and allow God to love you. When you do that and understand that principle or that pillar, then you kill some of the demons that are around or designed to destroy you. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go forward. I've only got a few more minutes and I may have to break off on this to take care of something for the love of one of my brothers, a friend of mine. Take care of something for him, but praise God in that regard. Third verse, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'm going to read the new the message version of that. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it is important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and not by what we do for him. Just want to kind of give that to you. Okay, I want to move to my next pillar so that we can get a good bit of movement on what I want you guys to have. The next thing that we must understand, and this is the second pillar, so to speak, and it's coming from Philippians 4:13. Which says that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Okay. Also, the underlining tone of that is in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And it talks about what I was telling you about as far as a way of escape, in a sense. And it talks about some different things that you'll put more on. You never put more on you can bear, right? And I'll read the New International Version on this. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. So it may not be evident in this, but in all honesty, it is where we have to trust God. When we say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, we are putting a level of trust in God to say that I can do everything as long as I put my trust in him. I use him as my source. Okay. I use him as my source. Okay. It also says that in, like I said, 1 Corinthians, that he would not put, in a sense, and people take it as he'll never put more on you than you can bear. But what he does say is that he would not allow the temptation to befail you. or overtake you except what is common to mankind. And he is faithful. You have to understand that God is faithful. So that goes back to that place of trust. We have to trust God. A few years ago, the Lord gave me something about trust. And I guess it was an acronym or something. And I've used this to this day. And it has blessed my heart in so many things. And it was really my own definition or my own, I would even say it's a mantra. If you want to, if you know what a mantra or my theme that I use a lot of time, that when I'm kind of struggling with some different things and I'm struggling with, you know, making a good or a bad decision in certain things in my life, I think on this acronym for trust. And that's totally relying, with T, totally, R, relying, U, upon, S, spiritual, T, truth, T-R-U-S, trust. Totally relying upon spiritual truth. That brings me back, or it will always shake me or quicken me to go back to all these different things that I'm speaking to you about today, is to totally rely upon these spiritual truth, because I have conformed my mind to know that the word of God is true. I've conformed my mind to know that I love God and God loves me. I have conformed my mind to understand that I will present my body a living sacrifice because I know that it will be holy and acceptable unto God. Plus, I will make it and I shall do it holy and acceptable unto God, that I must live holy. I must do these things. I have conformed my mind to know that if anything comes towards me, that he is going to present a way of escape from the hands of the enemy, because I have conformed my mind to know that he loves me and that his best intent, his best desires are for my good and for his glory. See, it all goes back. It all goes back. These are all spiritual truth. And that's going to lead me to my next pillar. These are all spiritual truth that we must put into our spirit. So when we're dealing with these things that we are tempted to do, we get involved in a illicit relationship, we know it's no good. We know that in the word of God, it says about different things that he warns us. We're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We're not supposed to present our bodies, or, you know, our bodies are holy. So we don't give our bodies out to things just so there's a price on your body. There's a price. And I wish that God, I would have, in a sense, before I, made the decision in my life when I was younger to just, you know, to not live my life as a virgin. I wanted to do my thing, get some and do my thing. That's what I wanted to do. I did not understand at that time the value of preserving your body or protecting or keeping your body, you know, till that particular point. I never understood it. I never understood it. Now, that is a testimony that I believe that my wife can, Bridget can tell and say, because she has kept herself until her first husband, which has gone on to be with the Lord. She has kept herself, but she trusted God to make sure that he would always protect her, provide for her, give her, that she trusted him. She honored him. She presented her body as a living sacrifice, right? So she has reaped the fruit of that blessing by doing so. But I wish I would have done that. But nevertheless, I still walk into the recovery or the reconciliation that God has for those that have made mistakes, that did not do those things. And he basically makes us all whole and new again. He restores us. Okay. So I know that's the spiritual truth that brings me to the next pillar. And I'm going to kind of move quickly with it. Is that how do you know what the spiritual truths are? Where do you find the spiritual truths? You know, you talk to the preacher about it. Yes, he can help you. However, sometimes the preacher, if he's a good preacher, like the preacher that's over there at that church over there on 1234 82nd Street, you know that church in Tampa, Florida, 33619, that preacher over there, little bald-headed little dude, kind of chubby, you know, husky dude, that preacher, you know, he's telling you, or, you know, you should be hearing it from him. And hopefully, and I believe that he is, I'm for certain that he is, he's telling you about those spiritual truths. But don't take it for the word just of that husky dude. You have a book right in front of you that you can match up everything that he says that he's telling you is a spiritual truth. You can find it into the word of God yourself. And because of that same thing, and it's readily accessible to you, there's no excuse, really, honestly, to be honest with you, because you can get it on your iPhone. You can get it on your Apple phone. You can get it on your Google phone. You can get it on your Microsoft phone. You can get it on your smartphone, your watch phone, or whatever phone you got, your flip phone, your turnaround phone. You can get it on there one way or another. There is no limitation. There's no restrictions on the Word of God. God has opened up portals where the Word of God can flow through so many things. It's flowing through TV. It's flowing through radio. It's flowing through podcasts. It's flowing through your phones now by way of, you know, daily readings and, you know, apps that are coming out. Sometimes you can even see it in Chinese fortunes. You're seeing it on billboards. You're seeing it on signs. The Word of God is making itself known. And we as the body of Christ, not only are we presenting the Word of God, but we're also trying our best to live the Word of God. That's another spiritual truth, is that when you see somebody living the best that they can, no matter, now here's the thing, no matter how, you know, their life may be, they may not be in a place where they're, you know, gain a lot of money or gain a huge whatever, but when you see, God will show you the how they respond to situations that you would have responded a whole different way, a whole nother, you would have said, I would have said a whole different thing, but yet and still, they walk away in that situation with peace in their heart and their mind, and it doesn't even affect who they are. It doesn't diminish their love for Christ. It doesn't diminish their character or their integrity. They know who they are, and they don't let anything intimidate them in that capacity. They'll be loving and they'll be helpful, but then on that same token, it's like they have a bit of control, because on that same token, no matter how much they be talked about or criticized, they're still who they are and be consistent with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the ways. And the way you learn that is by reading the Word of God. You have to study your Bible. It goes far beyond. Listen to what I'm saying. It goes far beyond just having a daily word. Yes, it does go far beyond having a daily word or just reading. I'm just reading my Psalms, or I'm just reading, you know, I'm just reading my Bible every day. That's good. Read your Bible every day, but you have to study your Bible every day. There's something but difference between reading and studying, or whenever you can. You know, you study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word. Whereas we go into it, we digest it, we eat it, we kind of go into it and we cross-reference, we, you know, do different things to study so that we will know what it is that God says in his word. How can you defeat the enemy, which is a spiritual being? Listen to me carefully. How can you defeat the enemy, which is a spiritual being that understands how to operate and pull the triggers of your flesh? You have to use the Word of God. That's what Christ did in the wilderness. He used the Word of God. He was the Word of God, and he used the Word of God. So we fight this fight. It's not flesh and blood that we're fighting, but it's with principalities, wickedness in high places. And the way that we combat these things is by using the Word of God and understanding it, living our life on it, finding courage, finding strength in it, and pulling that strength from it. Okay? Romans 1 and 16. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Okay? It gives us the very essence of what we need. So when we get the enemy coming to us and he's bringing all these lies and he's saying to you that, yeah, go ahead and do it. God will forgive you, or God is not going to forgive you. He doesn't hear your cry, whatever he may say. You know what the Word of God says. Even if you make a mistake and you come into a place where you find yourself, you know, kind of being in fault, you already know what the Word of God says. You know that you should be able to go through the throne of grace. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all right and righteousness. And we'll be able to get you'll be able to get there without any limitations. Amen. I'm going to stop right there for right now, because I do want us to be cognizant of the time. I'm just going to do a quick prayer. Grace and Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters that have come. to this place. I thank you for all those things that I've said, all those things that's been done. And I pray, Father, that right now, by the authority of Jesus Christ, that you begin to touch them, you begin to heal them, that you'll begin to deliver them. I pray, Father, that right now, that even right now, that as they're on this podcast, they're on this Bible study moment, that God, you begin to bless their heart, bless their soul, and bless their mind. I pray, Father, that the word that we have spoken of thus far, the word that we have talked about thus far, that Lord God, that you have been in the midst of it, that you have been in your anointing has covered it. And I pray, Father, that they will use this word to bless their spirit by reading it and digesting it and taking it in. I pray, Father, that that word will be manifested, will be built up even stronger, will magnify itself, will be the seed that is planted, that is watered, and begin to grow and sprout up and give them strength, give them victory, give them honor, give them all the things that they need and they're looking for. But Lord God, furthermore, let it help them fight the battle to resist temptation and to remove themselves from sin. That Father, even the spirit of depression, even the spirit of struggles and strongholds, we have what we need in you. And we thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. This has been Pastor Douglas. If you found that this has been a blessing to your life, been a blessing to your soul, I pray that you begin to go to our website, rtrmi.org. Please sow a seed into our ministry. We're looking to do things, take this thing across the world, across the nation, whatever the case, and also in our local communities. So you have the opportunity to be partners with us as we're doing great things for the kingdom of God. But without further ado, I know that you have been healed. I know that you have been blessed. I know that you have been conformed. No, that you've been transformed. There you go. You got it. You have been transformed. But better yet, you have been restored. This is Pastor B. God bless you. Good night.